Naomi's husband died. Then only she was left, along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons also died. Only the woman was left. Without her two children and without her husband, then she arose, along with her daughters-in-law, to return from the field of Moab. Because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead, and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people, and thank her God. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you. Turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more, so if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it.
There is something so earnest about the voice of a little girl as she stares up at the sky, hoping the sound waves of her words make their way through the infinite universe above her. "My name is Christmas Flint, human female." So begins Troop Zero, the story of a young girl in 1977 Georgia. Every summer, we take a few weeks to appreciate the art of movie making and the narratives that are told on screen. Our summer movie sermon series finds films that can serve as metaphors and offer entry points into conversations and ideas and experiences. And when paired with scriptures and insights from our Christian tradition, we find a convergence that invites us to find deeper meaning. This summer, we are going to be intentional in where our cinematic attention goes, focusing on women in film. This month, we will not only look specifically at movies that highlight the stories of women, but our movies will also tell those stories through the writing and direction of women. Because stories are shaped by those who tell them. And with an overabundance of male storytellers, it is far too easy to have the stories we hear not represent the full depth of reality. To give you some context on just how imbalanced Hollywood storytelling is, let me share a couple insights from the SDSU Center for the Study of Women and Film and Television in their report called The Celluloid Ceiling. Women comprised 13% of directors working on the top 250 films in 2019. That was up from 8% the year before. In those same top 250 films in 2019, women comprised 19% of writers, 21% of executive producers, 27% of producers, and 23% of editors. Only 5% of cinematographers, 6% of composers, 40% of music supervisors, and 9% of supervising sound editors. Only 4% of sound designers, 23% of production designers, 31% of art designers, 4% of special effects supervisors, and 6% of visual effects supervisors. Stories are shaped by those who tell them. Troop Zero is a story that invites us to watch a young girl named Christmas Flint claim her place in the universe as she navigates the difficulty of being misfit to the world around her. We quickly discover that Christmas is a bright and curious child. She loves life and, oh man, she maxes out her library limit every time she goes in reading books about space. Her general awkwardness makes her an easy target for both mean girls at school and outright bullies. And since her mom died, she is plagued by the rumors that she pees the bed and pees herself, and the kids at school often call her bedwetter more often than they use her name. Her one friend is her neighbor Joseph, who in 1977 Georgia is described dismissively as a girl boy. Christmas finds a deep sense of purpose when she finds out that NASA is going to send a golden record into space on the Voyager satellite, and that they will be recording the voices of children to carry a greeting to the universe. As someone who spends every night talking to the sky, hoping her words will find a willing listener, this is beyond her wildest dreams. The only problem is NASA will be recording the winners of the Birdie Scout Jubilee Talent Show for those who will put the message together. Christmas is not a Birdie Scout, and the highly successful troop in her community won't let her join. So she sets out to create her own Birdie Scout troop. She invites Joseph after noting that the guidebook never excludes boys, it just assumes only girls will join. Then she talks to schoolyard bully, a frustrated girl named Hell No Price. She also invites Hell No's enforcer, a girl named Smash, into joining with them. She hooks Hell No with the promise that this golden record would give her a chance to be permanent in the world and the universe. Her last recruit is a 7-year-old evangelist with one eye who spends more time talking to Jesus than she does other people. Christmas's dad then forces his office assistant to be their troop leader, and this band of misfits begins the uphill climb of not just earning the badges necessary, but then even making it to the Jubilee. But the arduous journey of coming to know who they are as they form a bond together as a troop and as friends is what this movie is all about. Their journey to earn badges becomes a process for them each to express themselves and claim something they are good at. The young evangelical sells cookies door to door. Hell No masters an obstacle course. It turns out Smash is as good at building things as she is destroying them. And Joseph, well, he ends up dazzling the women in town with his incredible gift at hairstyling. Christmas struggles to earn any badge. And eventually, she makes it through a night of camping in the woods to earn her wilderness survival badge. It's on this very camping trip that she discloses to her new friend Hell No that she indeed does wet the bed sometimes. She's even peed herself. It happened for a while after her mom died. She says it happens whenever I'm nervous or sad. It's a very vulnerable moment of that shares the highlights of how these kids have come to trust one another. Well, with their badges earned and their journey continues to encounter roadblocks. Roadblocks they overcome with the support of a community that has begun to see themselves in these children. Neighbors gathering together to claim Troop Zero as their own. In what would often be the culminating feel-good movement moment of a movie, that moment where the band of misfits surprises everyone with an incredible performance and steals the show, Troop Zero has no such luck. Turns out the other troops are well practiced at performing and winning that Jubilee talent show. And Troop Zero's little cardboard costume rendition of David Bowie's Space Oddity is not well received. As jeers and heckles start to be shouted at the stage, which is heartbreaking to watch, Christmas freezes. And the only motion is the growing wet spot on her clothes and the puddle below her. The music stops. The laughter begins to rise. Christmas has peed her pants in front of the entire gathering of the Jubilee. It's not just a rumor anymore. You might have noticed, as the scripture was being read today, that you've heard this one recently. I actually used the opening chapter of Ruth just a month or so ago. But as I was preparing for the sermon this week, I had a number of scriptural options laid out in front of me when I realized something. I didn't want to take a movie about a young woman that was written and directed by women and then prop it up scripturally with the story of a man. I don't want to do that. In fact, I don't want to do that at all this month. Women's stories do not need a man's story to be valid, relevant, or holy. So our scriptures this month will all be the lives and experiences of women in the Bible. That does cut down on the number of available scriptures. Much like the statistics of women in film, our scriptures are very gender biased. Stories in which women are the protagonist are few and far between. Stories where women get mentioned and given a name are few and far between. This is a product of the male-driven, male-written authorship and editing of our Bible. The scripture today from Ruth is not a random parody of just any story about a woman that I could make fit. No, this story is quite apropos, as it is the story of a woman who must claim who she is in a society that does not have a place for her. And Ruth and Naomi are able to claim a space of their own by journeying together. From the gleaning of the fields for scraps of food to building a new family after the deaths of their husbands, these two women survive because of their determination to support each other. When Naomi is sure she will be alone in the world, Ruth grabs her hand and declares that Naomi is seen and she is worthy of companionship, and Naomi is not alone. When I think about our efforts to build a home where all belong, that's the kind of relationship building I think of. It is the kind of affirmative allyship that's at the heart of our vision as a congregation. We will be a diverse community where all people can see their lives whole and know that they matter to God, to us, and in the world. Hear that vision directly. You matter to God, to us, and in the world. This is what Ruth's promise is saying to Naomi. This is God's invitation for us to do the same, to open our eyes to the lives around us, those who speak their truth into the night, hoping someone will hear them. Christmas Flint is not the only person to lay awake and speak a vulnerable truth into the dark ether, hoping someone hears. Whether it's in our prayers or our exasperated sighs, our world is filled with voices that long to be heard. People seeking a permanence that comes through being known and remembered. The kind of relationship God asks us to develop as individuals and a faith community is this kind of relationship. Now, where plenty of other movies would have let a talent show win be the culmination of a journey, we instead find our heroine standing in front of a hostile crowd with wet shorts and tears in her eyes. Then Christmas Flint speaks to the crowd, the same mantra she sends skyward each night. My name is Christmas Flint. I am a human female. Sometimes I pee myself when I get nervous. I don't know why. I don't want to. And I just want to tell you, I hope. Hope you live a good life. And I hope you have a friend. I hope you got everything I got. It's at this moment that Hell No Price steps forward and grabs Christmas's little hand and then wets herself intentionally. The crowd is flabbergasted at the sight of these two young women now standing there wet. And then one by one, each of these newfound friends walks forward, grabs a hand, and does the same until her entire troop is standing there in puddles before the Jubilee crowd with wet pants. One of the few people who realizes the truth of what just happened turns the music back on, and the troop finishes their performance with reckless abandon as they dance. They do not win the Jubilee. The Mean Girls get their voices on the record. And Troop Zero goes home. But that night, they gather together on a picnic table in the park. The scouts and the collection of misfit adults they've gathered along their way, all celebrating their relationships instead of celebrating a Jubilee win. And with faith that the sound waves travel They begin to send their voices skyward, looking at the stars. I am here. Here I am. We are here. God's invitation is for us to do the same. To open our eyes to the lives around us, those who speak their truth into the night, hoping someone will hear them, and to be the voice and the people who join them. To be the hands that hold theirs. To be the people that validate their struggles, validate their longing, and validate their humanity on this journey.